Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, Managing Editor of Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman with Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's December 10th, 2008, and welcome to episode number 76 in our series, which is also our last show for 2008. Tonight's topic is 101 Screenwriting Tips, and our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Alexis Nicky. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Now, tonight we're on the line with Alexis Nicky, a writer, producer, and script consultant originally from New York and now living in Paris, France. She started her writing career with a 7-year stint as a freelance script translator and subtitler for customers such as Columbia TriStar, Warner Brothers, ARTE, and various German TV networks. She continues to provide script analysis, translations, and rewriting services directly to writers and producers who are preparing their projects for the U.S. markets. In 2007, she wrote the book 101 Screenwriting Tips, published by Life Tips, a practical guide to screenwriting that has been described as fun, informative, and to the point. In November of the same year, she partnered with George LeClaire, former executive director of the International Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and the current director of the Banff World Television Awards, to write and direct ecology-themed stories for film, television, and internet broadcast. Two of these projects are currently in development. As a team member of the International Film Association, DreamAgo, she helps choose the scripts for DreamAgo's annual screenwriting workshop in Switzerland. In addition, Alexis is on the development team of the newly formed Paviline Studios in New York. She runs the Paris-based screenplay critiquing group, Les Scénaristes, and she continues to work on her special projects. She is also a certified Alexander Technique teacher. We are very pleased to have her on the line with us live from Paris. Good morning, or should I say good afternoon, Alexis?
Yes, it is. It's afternoon here for me, but good morning to you. It's very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you here, too. I'm excited to talk to you because I really know nothing about screenwriting, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are also really wanting to hear more about it, too. So as an author, and I know that I can speak for many authors, we secretly dream of our books sometimes becoming a movie. And, of course, somehow this book has to be transformed from the novel or the memoir, whatever it is, to something that is able to be produced. And I would imagine this is what you do. Is that correct?
That is one aspect of screenwriting that is not, that you're talking about doing an adaptation from an already existing book, be it a novel or a memoir, and turning it into something that can be a movie. I have done that. It's a different process from creating your own stories that you conceive as a movie, because you're taking somebody's original material and you're transforming it. And most of the time, you're transforming it significantly for many reasons. One is simply a matter of length. If you take a 400-page novel that you need to turn into a 90-minute to 120-minute movie, you're obviously going to have to cut a lot of what's in the novel out. If you're taking a memoir, that can be even more difficult in some cases because memoirs can very often be very internal. There's a lot of internal dialogue. There's a lot of contemplation. There's a lot of maybe going back and forth between time periods. And to transform that into a movie, a screenwriter has to find a visual way to tell that story. So it's a very interesting and complex process. Some novelists, many novelists actually today, write with that already in mind. You can do that as a novelist. You can plot your stories and you can already think about how will my story be transformed into a film to maybe ease that process a little bit. In these days when we actually go back and forth so often between different media, it's becoming more and more common to do that.
Interesting. I just had no idea that novelists would do that, that they would actually write in mind. So, but also then what you're talking about is actually doing the screenwriting rather than having a novel or a memoir, but writing the story in something that is adaptable to a movie. Is that correct?
You mean as a novelist?
No.
Or as a screenwriter?
As a screenwriter. So what you do is actually you write the story. Is that correct?
When I write my own original projects?
Yes.
Yeah, I start from scratch like a novelist would start from scratch. Okay. But I start already with the idea that I'm writing a film and I'm not writing a novel.
Correct.
And you know, the two forms have different requirements. So I already start, when I start writing a film, I start with the film requirements. When there is an adaptation involved, when a screenwriter takes a novel to adapt to a film, he's mm-hmm. got to transform the novelistic form into a film form. So it's almost there's a translation that happens there.
Right. Okay, I understand that now.
Yeah.
And so then when you start from scratch to write a screenplay,
mm-hmm.
what is the first basis that you need to start with?
The very first basis is the concept. You have to find a good concept that will work for a movie. Not all concepts do work for movies. First and foremost, what you need is a kernel that is meaningful and authentic. And that kernel, that core idea, most often will be something that has one big central conflict or moral issue that your protagonist is dealing with. And everything that you write in your movie has to relate directly to that central core. If you don't have that strong central conflict, that strong central concept, a movie will fall apart. It will meander too much. And if you have that central core, but you don't have everything in the movie relating to it and speaking about it, then the movie will still fall apart. So that's really the first basic thing you need to decide. And to decide if your idea is a good movie idea, you can ask yourself a handful of questions, like, can your core idea be told in a visual story? Can it be told visually? Is your core idea big enough to be sustained over 90 to 120 minutes of film? Are the conflicts that your story revolves around, are they external rather than internal? So you can't have somebody struggling with their self-identity if it all happens internally. You have to pit them against some external conflict where we get to also see their internal conflict. Doesn't mean that internal conflict doesn't exist. It means that it has to be expressed visually and externally through action. So that's already very different from a novel. Another question you can ask yourself is whether your concept is universal and at the same time is your concept unique. That is what is the big Hollywood paradox. Producers are always looking for concepts that are unique but familiar. Because if they're not familiar enough, if they're not universal enough, it won't speak to a broad audience. And if they're not unique enough, they will be boring. So it's actually very challenging to come up with something that's both universal and unique. Also, you have to remember that films are acted. You have performers. So the characters need to be compelling. You want actors, you want stars to want to play your characters. They want to see parts. And actors are used to seeing these amazing characters. At the same time, your audience must empathize with your hero. Even if it's a kind of a nasty person that you're writing, like the character from the TV series House, Dr. Gregory House. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. So he says all and does all these horrible things, but he's a very compelling character, and we get hooked on him. So you have to find ways if you're gonna write somebody who's not perfect, nobody is, to make the audience stay with him throughout the whole film. So if you have all of those pieces in place, then you know you have a good concept. And then you can begin your script.
Gosh, Alexis, that is certainly an eye-opener because, you know, if you go to movies, we don't really think of all these things. We get all wrapped up in the story.
Mm.
But there is so much, is what you're saying. And I don't imagine that this is really easy. So, gosh, you have written a book called 101 Screenwriting Tips. Is this what you cover in that book?
I do cover it in the book. It's a book of 101 tips, and they range, I've organized the book in the way that I believe a writer's life is organized, which means I talk about, in the first section, I talk about the creative process. Then in the second section, I talk about the analytical phase, which is everything that has to do with editing. And then I talk about the business side of writing. So yes, I do cover concept in the book, but I also cover a lot of other things. And, although I think my book is full of information, screenwriting is a huge subject, and there's no way I can cover everything in a book. So, you know, it's a great place to begin, to become aware of what it takes to be a screenwriter and to learn about what's involved. But it literally takes years of learning and practice to be able to get good at screenwriting. It is hard. It looks deceptively simple because when you look at a script, you see all this white space on the page. Compared to a novel, it's like, oh, these aren't so many words. I can do this. But once you sit down to do it and you start watching movies with a screenwriter's eye, it's not an easy process. It's a fascinating process, but it's not an easy process.
Of course. The screenwriting is notoriously one of the most competitive areas of writing there is. So I wondered what actually inspired you to take on this task of writing the book?
Well, to write the book, that was easy. But to take on screenwriting, I think that's just because I'm a little crazy.
Okay.
But the book, that was simple because I was doing some writing for Life Tips, the company that published the book. I was writing tips for their website, like many other writers do for them. And at the time, the editor contacted me to say that they were launching this book series, and did I want to write the book on screenwriting? I had zero plans to write a book on screenwriting, but it sounded like a really good idea to me, so I said yes. This was right before Thanksgiving 3 years ago. And when I asked about a deadline, she said, well, you know, we don't really have one, but it would be good to have the book by the first of the year. So I said, yeah, that's not a real deadline, is it? That's only 6 weeks from now. Okay, sure, I'll do it. And I hung up the phone and I thought to myself, what did I just get myself into? How am I going to do this? It never had occurred to me before to write a book. That year I was scheduled to go visit my family in New York for Christmas. And I did go, but I ended up just locking myself in the apartment and working the whole time. And it was a very, very intensive period of work, but it was incredible. And because of the looming deadline, I was forced to get creative about how I was going to accomplish this. So I just reached out to every industry professional that I knew, and I asked them if they wanted to contribute to the book. So you'll see that in the book there are interviews with producers, directors, writers, entertainment lawyers, which is great because they were so generous with their expertise, and I think it really helped to enrich the book.
Yeah, that's a clever and innovative approach that you took there.
Yeah. And, of course, also on the other side, after I was asked to do the book, I thought to myself, you know, this can be really fun. I know how hard it is to break in. I know how hard screenwriting is. And I have a certain experience under my belt, and it would be kind of interesting to share that with other writers and maybe what I have to say is actually going to be helpful to them.
Great. I'm wondering a little bit, how are the different media requirements vary? I'm talking about, you know, maybe a made-for-television movie versus series writing versus something for the Internet.
Right. Well, they can be quite different. They can be both quite different, and at the same time, they are blending more and more.
Right.
So generally, if you want to think about just the format, in a feature film, in the days when people actually used to go to the theater to see the movie, on the big screens, you have the big visuals.
Yeah.
So you can do a lot of action and a little dialogue. You can really tell a visual story. And then TV, also traditionally, because of the smaller screen and also in part because of the smaller budgets, more of the story was carried through the dialogue. Now, as we have the bigger screens in our home living rooms, and we can even watch internet series on a widescreen TV at home, and we can watch movies on our little handheld portable telephone devices, it's blending more. It's kind of, you know, no one really knows right now where the form's going to go and what the differences are. They're not as clear anymore.
Right.
And these days, you also see what's happening much more frequently today is that television writers are writing for film, and film writers are writing for TV, and traditionally they were like two separate lands. People didn't cross over the way they do today. So it's a changing environment right now.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's talk a little bit about writing on spec and selling your manuscript. What are the unique challenges for screenwriting?
Well, I think the first unique challenge to selling your script is having access to somebody who's going to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because screenwriting as an activity, as something to do, has boomed in popularity lately. And it's also true that producers are looking for more and more material as all these different venues are opening up. But that also means that readers and production companies are overwhelmed by material. And you can't imagine the amount of scripts that people have to read. So there's a huge vetting process, and you really have to find a way in to ensure that anybody's going to actually read your material. You can have the best script in the world, but if you can't get somebody to read it, you're going to have a problem. So that's challenge number one. And there are ways around that. You need to network, you need to make connections, you need to get on the phone, and just keep at it, keep trying.
Right.
And other than that, once you overcome that first hurdle, you also have to be ready to accept a lot of rejection. The chances of you selling your first script are slim to none, and you just have to be ready to accept that. Very often what you'll get is a producer will read a script and says, love the writing, not crazy about the script, what else do you have? So it would be great if you had something else to send them right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you would be even better if you had 5 or 6 or 7 things, because they might say the same thing on the second script. But it doesn't matter, because with each time they say to you, loved your writing, not crazy about the script, what else do you have? You now have built a relationship with somebody that you can go back to. They don't say what else you have if they're not interested in reading your material again. So I think the other thing that you have to do as a screenwriter is just, rather than focus on the rejection, focus on the good part, that door is now open to you.
Right.
And just keep trying. Keep working and keep trying. Keep producing material. Also, listen to what they say if they give you any feedback whatsoever. Really take it on board and see if you can't go back to the script and rewrite it again.
Great. Now, I'm just thinking that so many of the bigger budget projects involve also storyboarding. Does the screenwriter ever get involved in the storyboarding process?
That's nothing I've ever gotten involved with, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Sure. Give us 3 of your favorite tips from the book for screenwriters.
I'm going to give you 3 of my favorite tips for screenwriters because I think they're the most important. They might not be the most fun.
Okay.
But they're the most important. And I think the very first tip, besides write every day, which is a tip for all writers, which is crucial,
right,
is to finish the script. I know a lot of people who are, especially the ones who are still writing their first script, but even more experienced writers who just drag their heels and take so long to finish a first draft. And that happens because they don't accept the cardinal rule of it's okay to write a lousy first draft.
Oh.
Just write it. Just put it down on paper. You can't fix it if you don't have it on paper. So, you know, if you, in screenwriting, it's also usually very easy to write the first act. It's really easy to get the setup down. Then when you get into the second act and the complications start happening around your central conflict, it gets a little bit hazier. Personally, I outline. That's the way I get around that. I don't start a script until I have a solid outline. But that doesn't work for all writers. Not all writers are outliners. Some of them muddle through the script and they find their way that way. If that's your path, then you have to muddle. You have to keep plowing through. You can't stop and give up. So unless you finish your script, you're not going to go anywhere.
And we'd like to interrupt our broadcast for just a moment to announce our first collaborative book, Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, edited by Irene Watson, Tyler Tischler, and me, Victor Volkman. This book contains the distilled wisdom of more than 24 guests to our show in an easy-to-read, easy-to-understand reference, organized into chapters that reflect the life cycle of your books. Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, lets you learn about the best practices and avoid pitfalls in writing, editing, cover design, marketing, book reviews, online presence, genre and children's books, and many other key topics. As a special thank you, we'll include a free Best of Authors Access CD-ROM, jam-packed with MP3 files from all our shows. And for more information about the book, just go to our homepage, www.authorsaccess.com, and click on Success Secrets in the upper left corner. And now we return you back to our show.
My second bit of advice is to work on more than one project at a time. Because if you do that, when you get stuck on one, you can jump to another. And if you have one script that you're reworking, rewriting, for years and years and years rather than starting a new one, then when you finally send it to a producer and they say, what else have you got? You've got nothing. So it's really crucial to work on more than one project at a time. Writing is not a linear process. So I think we have to get over this desire to be linear when we approach our writing. Jumping around is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. And, of course, the third piece of advice that I would give screenwriters is to read as many scripts of produced movies as they can. Because novelists, we've all read novels. We had to read them in school. We all know what a novel looks like. We know how they unfold. We don't have the same history with reading scripts. We have the history of seeing the movies, but we don't have the history of reading the scripts. And that is an education in and of itself. And I think it's very, very important to read the scripts. They are available free on the Internet. And if people go to my website at www.thethirddraft.com, there are links to sites that have free scripts that people can download and read.
Wow. I'm just getting overwhelmed here. I had no idea, Alexis, that there was so much involvement. So, okay, let's say I do finally get my script together and I've written it, and now what do I do? Do I have to find an agent? Do I go directly to producers? What's the next step?
Well, I would not approach an agent. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Are you talking about as someone who has a book that they want to see that book turned into a film, or are you talking as somebody who wants a career in screenwriting?
Actually, that's a good question, because let's talk about both. So
okay.
Would you address both? Because obviously they're going to be different.
Well, with the first question, if you're a novelist or somebody who's written a memoir who wants to transform your book into a script, if you have an agent for your novel or your memoir, then that agent could help you find a way into the market. If you have a track record with that book that's made good sales, that's definitely something you want to get together to put with your presentation of your script. I don't know that approaching a film agent with just one project like that is of any use of your time, unless it's a huge bestseller, at which point they'll be knocking on your door, so you don't have to worry about it. But agents aren't looking for a one-off project. You know, they're looking for somebody who's going to generate income for them time and time again. So, yes, then you would go to producers, and you would look to see who has produced films that are similar to the genre or to the subject that you're writing about, and you would begin by contacting them. If you're somebody who wants to build a screenwriting career, I would put that first script aside, and I would write a second script. I wouldn't even worry about marketing it yet.
Interesting. That is because?
That is because people want to see that you are, you're not a one-shot deal, that you're in it for the long haul, that you're serious about developing your craft. Chances are your first script is not going to be all that great. You can market it, because marketing it teaches you about the marketing process, and that's also very important to learn. But I would market it without expectation. You know, if you're waiting to see if you're going to sell that first script to decide whether you're going to continue, then I'd have to say screenwriting is probably not your path. If you really want to be a screenwriter, just generate more material. Do a second script, do a third script. You get better and better with it as you go along. And then when you go to market your scripts, and the agent says, or the producer says, what else have you got? You have something else.
What a good point. Wow. I'm sitting here with my jaw dropped. It's like, I never thought about that. So, and it just makes so much sense, Alexis. Now, I want to talk about you. You had talked about earlier in this interview about rejections, be prepared for rejections. And I'm wondering at what stage you are. Are you still in the stage where you are contacting agents or producers, or are you at the stage yourself in your screenwriting career where they are contacting you, or you have contracts to do the screenwriting?
Well, I'm in a very interesting and perhaps unique position in my screenwriting career. Because I live overseas, I live in Paris, I do several different activities. I translate scripts. I help European writers, mostly German and French writers, prepare their scripts for the market in the U.S. In that process, I end up rewriting some dialogue and things like that. I have contacts in Los Angeles. I have contacts in New York. And through my networking, through my contacts, through the different organizations that I am in, yes, sometimes people come to me. And almost everything that's happened in my career has happened through serendipity. So I'm at a point now where I've completely relaxed about the whole process. And I'm just seeing what happens because good things are happening for me. I've made some good partnerships. I'm now on board a production company in New York called Paviline Studios. They're brand new. I'm on the development team, which means I'm reading scripts and I'm helping them decide which movies they're going to go forward with. And I'm giving notes on those stories. I have some contacts with producers, and I'm in the stage with almost all of them that are they're saying to me, what else have you got? So I'm in the process of rewriting the scripts that I do have to submit it to them. I have two projects in development with Paviline. So I'm feeling that things are happening for me, and my efforts haven't been so much directly in the marketing phase. It's been in getting the work done, meeting the people, building relationships.
And that's so important. Now, Alexis, when did you start into the screenwriting? How long have you been in this career?
I actually started writing scripts in 2000.
Oh, okay.
Before that, I was doing the translating before that. So in 2000,
really
I didn't, yeah, I mean, actually, I'm still translating, so, but much less now than I used to. So in 2000, I was approached by a friend of mine who wanted to start a production company. She had a novel. This is the adaptation that I was talking about earlier that I did. She said, I know you want to try your hand at this. Here's a novel. Why don't you try adapting it? Which I did. I mean, it was the most ridiculous. It was almost the same way that I wrote this book. I said, okay, not having any idea of how I was going to do it, and I just muddled through it. That project, of course, didn't go anywhere, but it doesn't matter. It really got me hooked on screenwriting, and I've been at it ever since. And they say, in Hollywood, they say it takes 10 years to become an overnight success, so I'm 8 years into my 10 years.
It sounds like you're a success already. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the script translator and what that involves.
Well, I translate French scripts from French and German scripts from German into English. And at this point, I mainly work only directly either with a writer or the producer. And very often, they have a specific market in mind. For example, I did a script that where the main character needed a lot of work, especially in the dialogue, because they wanted to pitch it to an American actor. They had Hugh Laurie in mind. Whether they ever got it to Hugh Laurie or not, I don't know. But so they brought it to me, and it was up to me to translate and to improve the English dialogue.
I see. It's amazing because unless one knows more about screenwriting, we're kind of tunnel vision. That's all you do is you do screenwriting. But now what you're saying is you can actually do script translating. But also when Victor was introducing you, he said that you were a film subtitler.
Right.
What is a film subtitler?
Okay, I don't do that anymore. That was several years ago. It's when you have a foreign language film that is subtitled. Somebody actually sits there and types those subtitles in. So you're translating the dialogue and you're condensing it so that it will fit in the subtitles. So that's that process. So I was doing, at the time I was translating German films, subtitling them. Very often they were films that were going to film festivals or to be shown overseas. But also they were often television concepts that were being subtitled to be taken into other markets so that the concept of the television show could be sold in a new market. So it could be remade. So a German TV show would go to Italy, say, to be remade in Italian with Italian actors. But first, the Italians had to understand what was happening, and since English is the international language, all these things get translated into English.
Right, that's a very good point. Let's talk a little bit about long-distance careers. I mean, given that you can't go to lunch with somebody or bump into people at parties, at least in Hollywood, what are some of the ways of staying in the loop?
Well, again, I think I'm in a very unique position in that I am in Paris, and Paris is a city that people also come to. So I don't always have to leave here to go to L.A. or to go to New York because people from L.A. and New York come here. That's one way I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Also, I'm very lucky in that I have found an organization called Dreamago, which is an international film association. And again, you get a huge mix of people coming through Paris in and out. And Dreamago also has branches in Paris, in Los Angeles, in Spain, and in Switzerland. So whenever I do go to Los Angeles, suddenly I have all these people who are members of this organization that I can contact. So as the organization grows, my contacts grow automatically. But another really growing and important way to stay in contact with people is over the internet. There are many sites out there right now where you can connect with industry professionals. Either you can take classes with people, or you can go to certain websites that are really strictly for networking. You can go to Facebook. You can go to LinkedIn. Both have become very important places for networking within the industry. There are really lots and lots of opportunities out there, and it's up to you to be proactive and find out about them and exploit them. Paviline Studios has a sister site called paviline.com. And that is strictly a networking site for filmmakers, emerging talent and filmmakers. So that's a great place to go. And there are also advisors who are active on that site who you can ask questions to and who write blogs and things like that. So there are many, many opportunities out there.
Great. Let's talk a bit about one of the arcane bits of screenwriting is registering your script. I mean, unlike a novel where you can write as many different novels about the same concept, I understand that you need to register your scripts with the American Screenwriters Association or other groups?
Well, you don't have to register your scripts. It's not, I mean, but it's very well advised. You can't register a concept. You can't register an idea. What you can register is the expression of that concept, of that idea. So if you have an idea to write a story about, a conflict between two sisters where one murders the other.
Yeah.
Right? You can have 10 different movies written in 10 different ways with 20 different characters that express that core concept. What you can protect are the characters that you create, the dialogue that they speak, the expression of that idea. So because before when I said there's so much material floating around Hollywood, people read so many scripts, people hear so many concepts, very often it happens that you think, hey, that was my idea. They made that movie out of my idea. And it's not true. I mean, of course, occasionally concepts get stolen. But, you know, also it's probably not true. These ideas are floating around. I had that occur with me. I had this fantastic idea. I was very excited about it. I was going to do a modern-day Snow White, high school girl in high school. She's Snow White, and she's surrounded by her friends who are, mine was called Snow White and the Seven Geeks.
Oh.
And then their movie came out called Sydney White and the Seven Dorks. I mean, it was the same concept.
Wow.
And it came out before I ever wrote a word, so I had to laugh.
Yeah,
so
right.
Yes, there's a fear that your concept's going to get stolen. On the other hand, the producers also are afraid of lawsuits. So they will want you to register your script at the Writers Guild of America so that there's a record that you're an owner of that script. And you also register your script at the U.S. Copyright Office. And that is, there's a different legal process for that. And when a studio purchases a script, they actually check with the Copyright Office to see who has claimed title to the script. So if you're selling your script to the producer, and the producer checks at the Copyright Office and sees somebody else's name as owner of that script, they can actually download the document and read it and make sure it's the same thing.
Oh.
Then the deal's off. See, because they're protecting themselves from, you know, they don't know who I am. I might be somebody who stole a script from another writer.
Sure.
Right. So that's how that works. People don't want lawsuits, basically.
Right. Definitely not. you mentioned that you do some work on other people's scripts. I'm wondering what goes into the decision-making process about whether a script goes back to the same writer for a rewrite, or it goes to some other senior writer, or it goes on to a script doctor. Can you just talk about the workflow there?
That's usually the producer's decision.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the producer, for one reason or another, decides they want a different writer on board. Now, I haven't done that kind of work yet. What I've done has always been in conjunction with the original writer. So either the writer comes to me, or in France, the producer comes to me. But in France, the laws are very different. The writer cannot be rewritten. So I have, when I sit down and I rework dialogue, for example, I do it hand in hand with the original writer. But in Hollywood, that's not the case. In Hollywood, they buy your script. They own it. They can do what they want with it. They can ask you to do a rewrite. They may like what you do. They may not like what you do. Maybe there's a conflict in the relationship. Maybe they want a more experienced writer to come on board. Maybe they have a specific idea that they want. They want to go in a different direction. Maybe they want somebody who's really good at comic dialogue to come on board. So they will then hire another writer to work on that script. Sometimes the original writer becomes unavailable because they're off doing another project.
Oh,
sure.
There
are many different reasons why something goes to another writer.
Gosh, Alexis, this is just you've been a handful of information here. I tell you, this is something that's totally new to me, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners, it's going to be new information for them, too. So, gosh, you've written this book, and it's called 101 Screenwriting Tips, and this can be purchased on your website, is that correct? Or where is this book?
Through Amazon. If you go to my website, you'll click through to Amazon, so you can go directly to Amazon.
And your website address, again, is?
www.thethirddraft.com.
The third draft. Obviously, you're talking about three times on the same screenwriter.
Right, and it's written out. It's written out.
Yeah.
The word is written out, yeah.
Thethirddraft.com.
Right.
Gosh, thanks a lot, Alexis. It's been really great talking to you, and we're just really thrilled to have you, and especially all the way from Paris, which just sounds romantic in itself.
Right, it took a little organizing, but we managed.
We did manage. And yeah. Thanks again. This has been just so great to have you. And
well, thank you for having me.
Yes, you're very welcome. Okay, you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air January 8th, 2009, when our topic will be Writing True Fiction. And our guest who will be joining us is Janet Hill. You can learn more about all of our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We would love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson saying Happy New Year and may 2009 bring you much prosperity in all aspects of your life.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman wishing the best for all of our listeners around the world.